CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor with Gordon Chang, at Gordon G. Chang, and Bill Gertz of the Washington Times, national security correspondent, author most recently of Deceiving the Sky, Inside Communist China's Drive for Global Supremacy. Because of that global supremacy, we now go to the Pacific Basin. And I learned from an article Bill has posted at the Washington Times that the U.S. military, in particular the Navy, is practicing anger management with the PRC. Bill, a very good evening to you. I had noticed that when the PRC speaks, it's angry, it's table pounding, it's Nikita Khrushchev at its worst. I understood this was a theory called Wolf Warrior. Now, however, there is a way of reading whether the Wolf Warrior is angry or really angry. What has happened, Bill? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. Always great to be on the program. This was a very troubling story that I first saw in a Reuters piece that came out of a visit to Honolulu, where the Indo-Pacific Command is headquartered, by Kathleen Hicks, who's the Deputy Secretary of Defense. And the piece was extolling from defense officials on background a new software tool that the command had briefed to the Deputy Secretary about how they're monitoring Chinese anger at various U.S. activities, such as arms sales to Taiwan, such as freedom of navigation warship passages through the South China Sea, these types of things. And I almost couldn't believe that this was accurate. And I did a story following up. I went to the command. I could tell right away that they were embarrassed by this report because it's being described as the appeasement app, the idea that we have to monitor the level of Chinese anger at our various military activities. And this plays right into what a lot of experts are calling the Henry Kissinger school of diplomacy, which is don't do anything to upset the Chinese. This was codified most recently by the Obama administration as, appeasement-oriented policies that sought to look the other way on nefarious Chinese activities, whether it's arming North Korea with nuclear missiles or selling key weapon systems and technology to Iran or a host of other activities that the Chinese are engaged in, or it's recently declared genocide against the Uyghur Muslims in Western China.
Bill, I want to make sure I understand this. Is this strategic friction? That it's not anger, it's strategic friction. Is that the same thing that it's looking for?
Yes. And the point is that this is a fundamental misunderstanding of the nature of the communist system by key policymakers. And it's been a problem for a long time. We had a reprieve during the Trump administration when they recognized that the United States needs to do what's in its interest and to press hard to do what's in its interest and not worry about what the Chinese say, because the Chinese were able to manipulate policymakers and decision makers by pretending to be angry at every little deed that the U.S. did. And in this way, they had a very sophisticated influence and strategic deception operation underway in order to advance its goals, in order to have the United States play down. I remember this going back as early as 1999, when the director of the Defense Intelligence Agency told me after a briefing on the Chinese military that China wasn't a threat. And I was shocked at the level of self-deception that has been underway, not just in the U.S. policy community, but in the U.S. intelligence community as well.
Gordon, you have a question for Bill.
Bill, Indo-Pacific Command is led by an admiral and always has been. There seems to be something wrong with the U.S. Navy in its approach towards China. I know that people in the Navy say that they are an arm of diplomacy because they work with so many other navies around the world, including China's. But it seems that really what we're talking about here is not a prop. The app is a symptom of the deep rot inside the senior circles of the U.S. Navy. What is your measure?
Well, I think what we've seen is an about face. I think that, this is Admiral John Aquilino is the Indo-Pacific Command commander. And I can remember him testifying earlier this year for his confirmation process that he said it's only a matter of time before the Chinese move against Taiwan. I mean, it wasn't a question of if, it was a question of when. Now he seems to have shifted. And the shift is a reflection of a certain politicization within the senior ranks of the U.S. military. We've seen it most obviously with General Mark Milley, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, who did the outrageous act of calling his Chinese counterpart based on some very questionable Pentagon intelligence that China was misperceiving that the U.S. was preparing to attack China. And as a result, he assured his counterpart that the U.S. was not only not going to attack, but that he would tell them in advance if we were. So I think you mentioned a certain rot. I think it's a symptom of politicization, and politicization in the wrong direction.
Bill, does this explain why the Chinese diplomats are permanently angry? Have they been ordered to just stamp and rage and throw tantrums all the time because we think it's sincere?
This is a debatable proposition. The so-called wolf warrior activities by the Chinese diplomatic corps is, I think, it's a symptom of playing on what is perceived to be American weakness or American political divisions, and they've become outspoken. It's not clear if it's a successful strategy. They have these diplomats, especially the deputy foreign ministry spokesman, who has been the most outspoken in spreading the disinformation, the lie that the United States caused the global pandemic, and specifically trying to blame the U.S. Army for that, when clearly we know that it came from either a wild animal in China or more likely the Wuhan Institute of Virology in Wuhan.
Gordon, you have a question for Bill.
Bill, when we look at the activities of, for instance, the U.S. Navy and Freedom of Navigation operations in the Taiwan Strait and in the region, has there been a noticeable change from that of the Trump administration, or are we talking about essentially the same number of FONOPs?
This is something that I've looked at very closely. There is some continuation of these operations. But I sense already that they're being muted. They're being tamped down. For example, as recently as late last year or even in January, the Navy would send out notices when they did a freedom of navigation operation, whether it was sailing a destroyer through the Taiwan Strait or sailing warships and destroyers through the South China Sea. They would release a statement on it. Those statements have stopped coming. And again, this is part of the playing down of the China threat that we're seeing. Behind the scenes, I think some of the good policies of the Trump administration toward China remain in place, notably arms sales to Taiwan. I haven't seen any diminution of arms sales there. And I've seen expressions of support, but the Chinese are not going to be looking for words. They're going to be looking for U.S. action. And if there is a cutback in freedom of navigation operations or reconnaissance flights and the like, then I think the Chinese will seize on that. They'll look at it as a way to press their case forward very methodically.
Bill Gertz of The Washington Times, the author most recently of Deceiving the Sky, Inside Communist China's Drive for Global Supremacy. Gordon Chang at Gordon G. Chang. I'm John Batch.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.